about this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
I want them to use like wireless energy, do like Tron like stuff, and have them like glowing.
Like, what do you want? You want them wearing like laser tag outfits?
Why does everything have to be so retro?
It's better. It's still not good.
All right. Welcome to season 2, episode 1 of 3 in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is Kenny filling in for the Meat Beast, who is on assignment in Cloquet. In the studio with me is Jive.
Hey, hey, folks.
And, well, that's it, because for a 3 in the Box first, we have Aaron calling in remotely from St. Louis, Missouri.
What's up?
How's it hanging down there in St. Louis?
Well, you know, the Cardinals just advanced to the NLCS, so the Cardinals fans are going bonkers.
Drunk fans running through the streets.
Yeah, I'm about 5 blocks away from Busch Stadium.
Oh,
so,
man.
I could hear the fireworks going off afterwards. And
Did you just say you're drinking Busch beer?
You know, but I mean, okay, I gotta say, if you're gonna drink Busch or any of the Anheuser-Busch products, why not do it in St. Louis, right?
Well, exactly.
I'm just saying, if I were, there wouldn't be a better place to do it than here. So,
well, fair enough.
But we don't drink anyways, so I don't even know why you'd consider Busch.
We're straight edge.
Yeah, totally.
Hardcore.
All right, so let's get on with it with the weekend review at the Wild. Opening game, October 3rd, last Thursday. The Wild lose 3-2 in a shootout to L.A. Aaron, questions, comments, thoughts, ideas?
Yeah, it was a mixed bag. They dominated early and actually dominated most of the game. But they just kind of lost their wheels near the end. And once it got to the shootout, there's an early goal by Matt Cook that was...
That was a pretty goal.
It was great to see his first shift as a Wild. You know, he's much maligned. He does score a goal. When you're watching it in slow-mo, it looks like it's just a heads-up, you know, turn your skate, let the puck deflect off your skate into the net. When they replayed it over, on the overhead, it almost looked like kicking motion, but it still wasn't conclusive enough for them to deny the original call on the ice. So, it was not a bad game as far as, you know, just the play goes. Things changed near the end of the game, though. They gave up goals at the end, and I think the last goal they gave up was in the last 7 minutes of the third. We had overtime that was rather uneventful, and we went to shootout.
Yeah, and then in the shootout, we've got our buddy Backstrom in the net, and he is his typical self and letting a couple of goals there, and the Wild taking overtime loss on it. I mean, I guess we take at least a point out of there, but... Yeah.
Yeah, it's still not too.
Not the way you want to start your season, but better than a complete loss, I guess.
If they took an overtime loss every game, that would put them at, you know, 82 points.
500, yeah.
82 points, they might make 16th position for come playoff time, maybe.
But I one thing that's kind of amazing, though, is that, yes, they at least got a point out of it, but it's the first time the Wild have lost their home opener.
Yeah, very true. That is very true.
They've got, I think, 10 wins and one tie back when ties were still around. And this game would have been a tie had we still had those rules in place. But, so that's a little bit of a disappointment.
Franchise first.
You know, and unfortunately, this game and the following game, I happen to be in Bruins territory, so trying to get a Wild game on in that part of the country.
Nope.
Exactly. So I think I got to see the last half of the second period, which actually they were looking pretty good going into the third, up, you know, at that point, 2-1? Unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, still ended up losing in shootout.
Lost in the shootout in overtime. And I guess that brings us to the game from last Saturday night when the Wild were facing the Anaheim Ducks. Once again, you know, let's just, dog, I guess we'll take your thoughts on it first, guys.
Coyle, he got injured second period with a sprained knee, estimated to be out 4 weeks. McMillan recalled to fill his spot. Yeah, ouch.
Yeah. I saw, you know, the highlight reels from it, and I guess that it didn't look very harmful.
But, you know, it sucks losing a big body.
It does.
And actually, he didn't look too bad in game one, so that's you almost felt like he was ready to he had a decent enough I know he got paired with the first line in his rookie campaign, and he had a good enough rookie campaign, but I still don't think he was really that guy yet. He still hadn't really found himself, and it almost felt like this year was going to be his year to be that guy. And, you know, missing a month, that's going to
hurt.
I have a tough time imagining he's going to actually do much with this year, you know, losing a whole month.
Fair enough. That said, you know, him, like his position with the Wild last year, do you guys believe that Parisi and Koivu should still be hanging out on the same line? Or, because that's one thing that is like never been mixed up. Like
do we have another top center or another top wing that can fill Parisi's spot or Koivu's spot?
And I think that's the crux of the question. It's who are you going to pair with them? I mean, I think Parisi does the good kind of mix it up near the net, and Koivu likes to dance around the edges. He's not going to be a grinder. You really need a guy who's going to you would think a guy like Pominville would be able to step up. And actually, you know, through the first three games, Pominville, Koivu, and Parisi, that's been the only line that's been generating chances the first three games.
Yeah.
So I think the line's not bad. It's just that you don't have four lines. You've got one line and then three lines that are misfiring.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, really where it comes down, that we've got problems. And speaking of problems, though, in the game from Saturday, four goals against the Wild, the three in regulation was all on sides that Scandella was playing D. And while I like Scandella, he can't. I mean, that's a really bad game. That's like a Tom Gilbert, Clayton Stoner type bad game, where every single puck is going in from your side because you're out of position, your back is turned on the play. There's really no excuse.
I'm disappointed, Aaron.
You're looking for Gilbert back?
Yeah, I was really hoping that since he was gone, we didn't have to bring him up anymore, and you had to go there, didn't you?
Well, I had to. If I get a chance to throw Tom Gilbert under the bus, you got to know I'm going to take
that. He's not even with the Wild anymore, and you're throwing him under the bus. Come on. But, give the guy a little bit of a break.
He's still a Minnesota guy. He ought to know better.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Well,
he went to Bloomington Jefferson, so he can't be that nice.
Okay.
Let's just hope Aaron never meets him, because we're going to be either bailing him out of jail or taking him away from the hospital.
Oh, jeez. I will just say this, that I really do like Scandella, but he had a really bad game in game two. And hopefully, it was just a fluke, and just, you know, guys have bad games. But hopefully it's just a bad game.
Let's hope.
Yep. So speaking of bad games, yesterday, last night, the Wild lost yet another game, or didn't get a win in another game.
Are you guys
3-2?
Go ahead, Aaron.
Losing 3-2 versus Nashville.
Yeah.
Did you see this bad trend? So it went from shootout to overtime to regulation for losses. That's just ugly. That's not a good way to start the season.
And I'll let you know about another trend here as well here, because Backstrom was in the net for all three of those games,
well,
at least to start with. And in this game, Backstrom started the game, gave up a couple of quick ones early, and then on a play where basically Eric Nystrom had, there was a collision with him, and he kind of slid into Backstrom, and he got hurt on that. It was Nystrom and Keith Ballard.
Ballard got the slash call.
Yeah. And they gave Ballard the call on that, but looking at it in hindsight, you know, it looks like he's going for the puck. It doesn't look like there was any, you know, foul play, any hooking, any, you know.
I don't think it deserved the penalty shot.
No, I'd have to agree.
You know, you give the penalty shot to a goalie coming in cold to replace the goalie that just got injured due to Nystrom crashing into him.
Right. And so, yeah. Harding gave up what I read in an article earlier today as to be the game-winning goal.
Technically, it was.
It technically was, but, I mean, what more is a guy to do when he walks in cold feet and has a guy bearing down on him 1-0? And, I mean, what is it?
I mean, technically, he did give up the game-winning goal, which really sucks because – you know, he came in and he actually played a phenomenal game, and it looked like the D was backing him up a little bit more. I don't know if it's his positioning in the net where he is leaving. He's challenging the skaters a little bit more, so he's got more open room behind them, and Backstrom's just playing tighter in. But I noticed the D jumping in a lot more and having a lot more saves, either piling up in front of Harding or jumping behind him to save some pucks. At least more so than Backstrom.
How'd you view it from down there in St. Louis?
Well, you could also go off of your hypothesis was that you know, maybe the defensemen just don't like Backstrom.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
High possibility, you know.
Well, what was your exact words? Maybe they just think he's a prick.
Pretty much.
Who knows?
Yeah, but I mean, that's probably not the case. But you know, at the same point, you got to wonder. I'll be the first one to admit that I haven't been the biggest Backstrom fan since, you know, we started the rotating door head coach. You know, since the Lemaire days, the goalie position has been enigmatic. We haven't had a really solid goaltending year where we're just like,
well,
shut down, and, you know, system.
Yeah, and what I'd have to say though, Backstrom, if in your standard routine shots, he's a solid goalie. I mean, he can take shots from the point.
Just about any goalie that's at the NHL level
should be able to do. It's the flashy goals that you might see. Like, I mean, for instance, in the first game of the season against LA. I mean, really, we know that the Wild dominated that game.
Oh, absolutely.
But who won the game for L.A. was Jonathan Quick in the end, having that freaking awesome goalie just,
pulling
out all the stops.
I've never liked Backstrom in a shootout. It's always a scary thing, and I'm a huge believer that, at that point, throw Harding in for the shootout. Yeah.
Put him in with cold feet.
Unfortunately, that result did not happen proper in Nashville.
It's a good confidence builder for your goalie, too.
You know, exactly. I mean, with Backstrom possibly out, Kemper, which this is actually going to sound pretty good, is getting pulled up from Iowa to possibly back up Harding.
Is it official yet?
I have not heard any definite, but... You know,
yeah. Figure if
he's probably gonna at least be
day to day,
right? And he's probably gonna at least be practicing with the team.
Right.
Let me see if I can find the latest news on it, but I'm pretty sure that he is going to, he will be up backing Harding. You know, it would only make sense that they called him up.
Our goalie cannot stand up. Tell you what, get some rope.
As of 1:30 this afternoon, Backstrom is day to day. That's on the Wild's page right now.
Okay, so it could go either way at this point. It's just all a matter of probably a game time, whether or not Harding's feeling up to it, I guess.
Or whether Backstrom's ready to play.
And honestly, yeah. I mean, Harding, you know, everybody knows about his battles now, but he looked strong when he came in. I mean, besides giving up that, you know, the penalty shot there, he was rock solid for the rest of the game.
You can't put too much weight on his cold, giving up a goal cold, you know?
Yep.
It's just not fair.
Nope.
But I think it also goes back to the, you know, is Yo just riding Backstrom again, just like he did last year? And we saw that worked out for us last year.
Right.
Come playoff time.
And come playoff time this year, well, the season is nearly twice as long. So if I'm doing the math correctly,
that's Backstrom playing about, what, 65 games this year?
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
He's not a 65-game goalie.
There's not many goalies that are.
No, not anymore.
No, there isn't.
Any team that is successful now needs a two-goalie system. There's no ifs, ands, or doubts about it. You know, well, especially last season where they were playing 4 and 5 games a week and a lot of back-to-backs.
Yeah.
And that, I think that killed Backstrom from last year. This year with a little bit more regular schedule, not as bad, but it's still gonna hurt, and you're still gonna wear out your primary goalie. I just hope we don't get into a situation like Vancouver signing anyone for a 10-year contract for way too much money that they can't get out of and not perform.
Wouldn't it be nice though if somebody told you you only had to work 2 days a week?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sign me up.
Right.
Obviously, there's a little bit more than that involved, but yeah, in general, like, so we're just gonna have you train for, you know, 5 days out of the week, and yeah, you only have to work for 2 days out of the week. Yeah, please. So, with that too.
Yeah, speaking of the whole Predators, I don't know what you guys think about this, but Barry Trotz, the Predators head coach, he actually went on the radio in Nashville. It was encouraging fans to boo Ryan Suter, and the fans as dutifully booed Suter every time he touched the ice, much like he did last season in our one matchup with the Predators, I think we only had a matchup with the Predators once in Nashville last year, if I remember right. I don't know. What do you guys think about? Is a head coach fair to incite the fan base?
I say he was just taking a play out of slap shot, going on the radio and putting a bounty on somebody's head.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to call it a little bit out of place for a head coach. As a head coach, you got to probably be a little bit more professional, especially when you're speaking to the public. But
unless you're Tortorelli.
But this is new rivalry, basically,
it is.
Right? I mean, maybe I still can't agree with it.
You gotta figure Nashville.
Yeah.
You gotta figure Nashville now doesn't have Detroit in their division. And that was like their one quasi rivalry. So they got to be edging, trying to figure out some other way to generate a rivalry. So why not Minnesota, who stole their player away?
How many years are they going to drag that on, though? I mean, come on, get over it.
You know what? But the Twins still boo AJ Pierzynski.
Well,
and he's been gone for the team for a decade.
Holy man, has it been that long?
Yeah, 2003.
Wow.
Bill Mauer's when he first started.
You know, the thing with Pierzynski though is he went to the White Sox, who have been a division rival for a long time.
Well, he was traded away, though. The Twins traded him away.
Yeah.
So the context doesn't matter to fans. As long as they get to boo someone, that's all that really matters.
Although there was a lot of people not happy about signing Matt Cook in Minnesota.
True.
And
but you're not gonna. No one's gonna be booing him in Minnesota, though.
You know, I think. Well, I think the best.
Are there gunshots down there in St. Louis?
I think the best.
I'm not in Montreal. You know.
Oh, that's right.
The best thing Matt Cook could have done and did do was score a goal very early in the very first game.
It's first shift.
Yeah. In the first minute.
First second.
The first home game. I think our producer is trying to tell us to move on.
No, not at all. Not at all. We're doing great, man.
So, anyways, Zucker went down. Vayu was brought up. Yo's unhappy with Zucker's performance in Game 3. Rightfully so, maybe. But so that was our week in review. So the Wild, at least as far as our week is concerned, in between now and next Wednesday, have four games coming up. Tomorrow night, October 10th, Thursday, which potentially might be tonight, depending on when you guys get this podcast, playing Winnipeg for the first time as a division rival in regular season, because I do believe we played them once or twice in preseason. Yes?
Yeah. Yep.
Saturday, playing one of my favorite teams to hate, the Dallas Stars, just because I will always have North Stars in my heart.
F Norm Green.
And then they got back-to-back road games on Monday, Tuesday next week against Buffalo and then Toronto. So,
Bonneville will be making his big
debut back
debut
home or
back
previous.
Home
with a bench clearing brawl.
You know, they do have John Scott in Buffalo, so
wow. Oh, it could be interesting. Although I would like to see Konopka can't handle John Scott.
I'm gonna call it right now. Konopka versus John Scott.
Konopka's gonna lose more teeth.
It'll be good for everyone then.
It will be.
See, now there you guys. Now there we're talking about a prediction segment.
Yes, we are.
Who's going to fight this week?
You know.
Who will lose a tooth? Who catches? Who gets a concussion?
Honestly, if Konopka goes after John Scott, man, he's either ballsier than I thought or dumber than I thought, because John Scott will lay him out on the ice.
Well, I was actually looking back, and Konopka has had a fight in every single first game of the season, like the last 5 or 6 years. God. And he actually had fights in the first two games of this year. I don't know if he had a fight at Nashville.
I know he did. He did in against LA and against Anaheim, I believe.
He did. So, I mean, if anyone's gonna fight, you got to put your money on Konopka, right?
You know, I like him. He's full of spit and vinegar, but I swear he's got little man syndrome.
You know, there's only two things Konopka can do is win faceoffs and fight, which is pretty limited. He's not one-dimensional, but he might as well be.
Those are two big parts of the game, though. I mean, winning a faceoff can be invaluable.
Absolutely.
And winning a fight can actually sway the momentum of a game. I mean.
Yeah, but he fights. He doesn't win. He just fights. His fight record isn't the greatest.
If you rile him up.
The problem is he's still getting, 10 minutes a game, and he can't pass and he can't shoot. That's a detriment. I mean.
How many people in your workplaces can't pass and can't shoot, but they keep people around, don't they?
Yeah, but they're not getting paid $800,000 a year.
They're not getting paid the league minimum?
$800,000 a year? No.
I want that job.
And they're not making their own wine or raising bunny rabbits.
Well, you know, hey, Hoppy needs a home too, you know.
And a guy's got to have his hobbies. Come on now.
He just needs to get it imported in the U.S. now, which last I heard he was kind of working on. His wine.
Yeah. The ZK wine or whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why we can't import Canadian wine. Is this prohibition again? Do we got to smuggle it from Toronto?
Or I think wherever? There's got to be some sort of deal with our neighbors in Wisconsin. They need to get some cheese to go with the wine.
Yeah, possibly. All right. Jive, would you like to talk about our game of the week?
Sure. I mean, this week's pick for the game of the week, I think we're going to go with our arch nemesis, our old team. They're not our old team anymore. They've been gone for years now. And yeah.
It's only been a couple decades. Yeah.
Only a couple of decades. Although, I'm not bitter.
You know,
I'm not bitter.
Hey, we didn't quite make it up to the border, but at least we get to take a hockey team out of Texas.
That's right. So this week's game of the week is the Wild versus the Dallas Stars. The Wild will be at home for this game against the Dallas Stars. And so what we're going to do here, this is kind of a little bit new this year, we're going to take some predictions in and just decide who's going to win here for this game of the week. And we can even throw in our score if we want. So,
okay,
Aaron, why don't you start
you
it out?
First?
Sure,
yeah, start
go
it
for
out,
it, Aaron.
Okay. I'm going to say... you know, maybe I'm unique in this, but I'm gonna go with the Wild winning handily, 4-2. They're due for a win. They've been playing well enough. I'm not convinced that Yo's lineup shaking will actually do the trick, but you know they're due. I'm going Wild win 4-2.
And Aaron, I'd have to agree with you that you know they're due for a win. And they've been playing decent hockey. They just haven't come out on the winning end, and you know, it is what it is. But I'll go along with you, and I'll say the Wild do win. But I think it's going to take an overtime shootout for them to get there. So I'm going to predict that the Wild win 3-2 with the overtime shootout.
All right,
how about you, Kenny?
Aaron, I agree with the 2-point spread. As well, I'm being a little bit more optimistic. I'm going with 5-3. I think Jive is hoping that Harding is going to be in net with the Wild shootout win, but I'm going 5-3. I don't think Dallas's goaltending is as good as it used to be, and I could see our offense lighting up that game.
To my defense and to the Wild defense, I believe that the Wild did have quite a few overtime wins last year.
They did.
Based on the shootout. So,
I would also like to point out that the Wild haven't scored more than 3 points in any game this season.
Well, it's only been three. And they haven't won a single one of them either.
Yeah, exactly. But I think going for 5 points is a stretch. I guess we'll see. But, you know, that's where I'm going to defend my position here.
All right. I mean, I agree. I mean, 2 points win. We're all going for a win, so let's hope we're not wrong in that category, and let's just hope none of our scores are reversed.
Should we vote for Josh?
No, he's in Baruba or wherever the hell he's at.
Okay.
I think he should get the default opposite position.
Yep.
So he gets points. He gets points if Dallas wins.
Sounds good.
Are we giving him a score, or should we just say by how many points?
We can give him a score. We'll say that the Dallas Stars shut out the Wild 3-0. How's that sound?
Josh, you there?
Josh.
Josh, it's me, Kenny.
Yeah,
are you there, Josh?
Yeah, this is the meat beast.
All right, so we're gonna...
I know! I'm sorry!
That's perfect.
Oh, good golly. So the Gophers had one...
They started!
They did. They had one lone exhibition game of the 2013-2014 season and won handily 5-1 over Lethbridge.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They must be taking cues from the Gophers football team, playing nothing but easy teams. Easy teams in for preseason. And then, they do play this weekend, though. They are hosting the Icebreaker Tournament Friday and Saturday. Friday's games are Clarkson versus New Hampshire. And then the Gophers are playing Mercyhurst later. And then the losers of the two teams play earlier for the consolation on Saturday. And the winners play for the championship later Saturday night. So,
my prediction for the weekend. Go ahead.
Yeah, this Gopher team is going to be way different than last year's.
It's going to
be players they lost.
It's going to be a lot different team. They lost a lot of their players that were in key positions.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Bukestad, you lost. You lost Halla. You lost. You lose Rao too.
I believe Rao got signed.
But remember, we come from the state of hockey, though. That we've got players and players.
This is
and
true.
More players.
So
in Lucia, we trust. Is that what you're saying?
In Lucia, exactly. We trust. So.
Well, good luck to the Gopher men's this year.
You know, they've done it every year where they lose a good amount of kids that are freaking amazing, and they still manage to recruit. I'm very happy with their recruiting system and what they've done.
It's not
a good program.
It's not hard to recruit when you've got a successful team. I mean,
absolutely not.
That's the bottom line. You know, people follow success. You don't want to go somewhere to lose, basically, you know.
So, anyways, I think, gentlemen, you guys got anything else to wrap up with? Any other final comments for the week? Predictions for next week? Any more?
I'm going to predict that the Meat Beast is going to be on location in Anchorage.
That could very well be. He tends to travel a lot.
I think he's going to be in Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
Grand Rapids.
Okay. So if this is what we're going with, I'm going to go for Flint, Michigan.
Flint. Is he joining the militia up there or what?
He's been acting a little crazy lately. I don't know. I think we might have to get a metal detector at our studio. Start getting, you know, yeah, I'm a little scared.
He's packing heat.
good God.
Shotgun wedding up there?
So anyways.
Little shotgun wedding up there?
Yeah. So, so this is Kenny signing off for 3 in the Box. Hopefully we got a full crew next week, all in studio. You can follow us at 3 in the Box on Twitter, and you can follow me at RottenK999. Check us out at 3inthebox.com. And yeah, Aaron?
You can reach me on Twitter at AaronGNP, and you can check out our band, all three of us, sans Josh, at pinrot.com.
And you can follow me, Jive. I'm on Twitter. I'm Jive at Jive Midnight, or also at 3 in the Box. Or yeah, I hang out with these guys and pretend like I know how to play the guitar once in a while.
Man, but you are one pathetic loser.
All right, it's been real. It's been fun experimenting with our cast over the phone with Aaron from St. Louis, and hopefully it.
Yeah, I think it went well. We didn't drop our connection once.
No, and we got to get Josh on this whole
Aaron,
kick.
Aaron, you there? Hello?
At least we'll wait until the end. We gotta explain this to Josh so next time he's out in Bangkok or wherever he's at, he can call in. Have a good night, guys.
Hola.
Hola.